Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. Pals are Artura.
Hello everyone.
And Gozogoz.
Hi.
And I am your host, Ace. In today's episode, we're talking about Yuhani the Parhelion, Sunshine in the Mirror, aka Genjutsu no Yuhani, Sunshine in the Mirror. Released in 2023, we decided to cover it using the three-episode rule, so I won't be as detailed in my synopsis. I do check out the anime if we pique your interest. A game called Yuhani the Parhelion Numazu in the Mirage came out recently. Well, in the West at least. So we're hitting on that SEO goodness. It was produced by JC Staff, the studio behind Ikitusen, Battle Arena Toshinden, and Voltage Fighter Go Kaiser. You may remember those previous two, those last two, from this very podcast. I know that you two do.
Naturally, of course, they took that one thing from that one episode we did a while back.
Toshinden is... it's the one where a guy slaps a girl out of the way, I think.
It's the one with the animations and the girls and the boys and all that.
I really need to make shorts out of those funny moments. Like when the guy slaps the girl out of the way, going like...
Yuhani the Parhelion, Sunshine in the Mirror, currently has a My Anime List score of 6.90.
Nice.
It's based on the multimedia series Love, Live, Sunshine, developed by ASCII Media Works. It's a spin-off using different versions of some of the same characters, showing that there really is no escaping from multiverses in the 2020s. My synopsis goes, a failure returns home after 2 years, and events conspire to make her less of a failure. Artura, what do you have?
First of all, I'd like to mention that calling her a failure is not only accurate, but really mean. And I expected no less from you. And also, minus, after failing for 2 years to kickstart her singing career, Yuhani goes back home and is forced to find something else to aspire to. From fortune-telling to... What is even happening?
And Gozogoz?
Was what is even happening a comment about the anime or your notes?
Yes. No, it was about the anime. About the third episode, I was like, okay, I'm done with this. I have no idea how I'm going to make a synopsis out of this.
Okay, so mine is my synopsis. After she fails her American Idol audition, probably just because Simon didn't like she was ambitious, Yuhani has to go back to her backwoods hometown that doesn't even have a Starbucks to hang out with her stepwolf. When she arrives, it turns out there is a giant pig, ninjas, Kamen Rider, ghosts, a demon king, and even dubstep.
I love that you say Kamen Rider because I wrote that in my notes.
I mean, I assume that the whole Yuhani the Parhelion idea, multimedia thing, is that they turned each character into like a classic Japanese pop culture archetype. So I think Kamen Rider is probably the direct reference.
This is true. So we open on a beach where we're told the world is a song by the protagonist who has a dog. We then get the title card and then open back on an idol tryout, which Yuhani fails.
I didn't feel it, dog.
She calls home, and her mother reminds her that today is her 16th birthday. She left home 2 years ago with a promise that she would make it in the big city or return home in 2 years. Apparently, she's spent the last 2 years doing the bare minimum to reach her dreams. Her mum then tells her that she's expected home, but her parents are going to be away for the summer, so at least she's going to be able to do her own thing. We get a short montage as she returns home, and my next note was, the dog can speak.
Yeah, I think that was everyone's reaction. I didn't expect magic and the dog just spoke, and I was like, wait, what?
I just want to say that after watching 3 episodes of this, I'm not clear if the dog can speak, or is she the only one who can hear the dog speak?
Okay, spoilers for the start of that game that recently came out, but it appears that only she can understand the dog. Because in one of the first cutscenes, she says, oh, Laylaps said blah, blah, blah. And a character goes, oh, you can understand him. And she's like, oh, if you know someone for a long time, you get to know their body language.
Yeah, not only that, I don't think Laylaps ever speaks to anyone. And when the inspector comes with like the animal thing, Laylaps never speaks. And I was like, huh. So I'm starting to think that our protagonist is just belongs in an asylum.
No, it's Toy Story rules.
Oh, that makes a lot more sense.
What if the girl with a giant pig can understand the pig?
That's a good point. Watch more to find out. So this dog, Laylaps, is there to at the train station to greet her. At home, Laylaps suggests that Yohani goes around and greets the neighbors and her childhood friends. Yohani, however, refuses because she has no friends. And then she scares Laylaps onto the roof.
By saying there's a bug. That's all it took.
Yep. Laylaps is apparently terrified of insects.
Someone tell Laylaps that there's probably a multiple of them living in that thick fur.
They both go for a walk and people stare at them, but it seems to be only because Laylaps is a huge talking dog. Sorry, a huge dog because nobody else can hear her speak. They encounter Hanamura, an old friend of Yohane, who is a baker now. Hanamura spots her and calls over, but as Yohane is about to hand over a dropped leaflet, it flies out of her hand and something causes her to freeze. In some nearby woods, there's a dark fog seen by some random hiker who we never see again.
I think they later say that there's a sound.
Yeah, I was about to say this was a bit confusing until it's later kind of explained-ish. Because there's some sound that only certain people can hear, and animals. And some miasma fog type stuff that's, as we'll find out soon, turning animals evil.
I'm sorry. I'm pretty sure that Mari only says it affects children and animals, which perfectly fits our childish protagonist.
After the ad break stinger, we return to Yohane and some kids comment on how it's getting louder. So yeah, it's some sort of sound. Then Laylaps implies that whatever the shock was is a regular occurrence. Yohane cowers in fright before the leaflet lands on her again and she hands it to Hanamura before immediately trying to leave. Laylaps stops her and the girls wind up talking. Apparently the fruit harvest is also bad and blah-de-blah-de-blah, so Yohane and Laylaps leave. Laylaps tries to explain the situation of things are bad and Hanamura's business and Yohane's just, yeah, whatever. Complete lack of compassion. Laylaps leads her on a hike to a massive tree stump where she sang as a child until people teased her about it. And then suddenly Hanamura appears, having stalked Yohane just to give her something to eat. Instead of handing over any food, she insists that Yohane sings for her, and the aspiring idol complies. After performing an entire music video, a magical staff appears from nowhere. As if that's an everyday occurrence, Hanamura congratulates her on her magical singing and hands over some bread. Like, oh wow, that staff appeared. So anyway, here's some bread.
Wait, you mean to tell me that random things don't appear when you start singing? Like police officers telling you to shut up because you're disturbing the neighbors?
Yohane and Laylaps walk back into town and we get a montage of characters we'll be meeting throughout the series before we cut to Yohane's bedroom. The pair chat and we get the credits. Then there's a post-credit scene of something weird happening at the stump, and we don't revisit that in the three episodes. The second episode opens with Yohane failing to cast magical spells that she doesn't know while using her new staff.
She has a lot of enthusiasm, I'll give her that.
She decides that the issue is the town, so packs a suitcase and starts to leave until Laylaps reminds her that she's broke. We then get the title sequence. It's an okay song, I've heard better. When we come back, Yohane decides to become a fortune teller to make tons of money. She puts up posters in secret and then goes back home to plan how to spend her fortune.
Which makes me laugh because, oh, I did this magic thing once. I can totally be a fortune teller. She doesn't even just try to do it on her friend or something, like test it. No, I can totally do it. Hold my beer.
I get the feeling she knows it's a grift, that she has no ability to do it, but she can probably bluff her way through it.
I got the same feeling as well, that it was more of a lie.
I don't know, I think she believes it.
Honestly, wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, the opening scene where she follows the audition tells you that she has a lot of confidence. Insane amount of confidence.
Hours later, she finally gets a knock at the door and opens it for some kids to mock her. I mean, they ask where their ball is, but they can't pay, so she closes the door. Later, her second visitor is Hanamura, who is there to take Yohane around town. They first go to see Chika at Waterfront Inn, and going inside, they also meet Shima and Mito, her sisters. Despite her best efforts to make an ass of herself, Yohane fails because the sisters are just too good. The pair then go to the administrative bureau to meet Dia, and while watching Dia work, Yohane spots a fairy in a bookcase who begs her not to say anything. I mean, she does the finger shush thing, but I figured that was a neater way of writing it.
Yeah, she's probably just imagining that freaking fairy too, goddammit.
So later, Yohane talks to herself about not wanting to be surrounded by people and have to answer questions all day. She wanted to be a popular idol, just thought I should remind people about that. She then belittles how much money Hanamura has made, despite having been unable to get a part-time job, much less keep one. The next day, Yohane doesn't want to get out of bed, surprise, surprise. But the doorbell goes and gets her out of bed, and she's greeted by an unnamed scholar. In the games, this character is named, but yeah, not here. Who wants to ask a question? So she's forced to have a fortune reading instead. The fortune is, of course, terrible. However, the scholar falls in love with Lilaps and offers to buy her. Yohane refuses after a long moment of considering it, and is then roped into doing odd jobs for people because of her posters. Like, I didn't understand that.
I didn't understand how it worked either. It was like she went from being a forest fortune teller and nearly selling her stepdog to suddenly being an errand girl. Like, I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I assume it's something with the Japanese language, to where you might misread fortune teller as something else.
So what language was that poster written in? It wasn't kanji. I assumed it was some made-up language. But I know that kanji isn't the only way that Japanese is written.
Well, that's not even the main way. Japanese people struggle to remember kanji.
By chance, Yohane meets Hanamura at the river, and Lilaps makes her apologize for being a git. And later at home, her payment appears to have been some paper money, a gold coin, 4 silver coins, 4 bronze coins, a tea bag, a tea cake, a banana, 2 sweets, 2 acorns, and a pine cone.
Start to realize that you have a lot of time in your hands.
Despite having agreed with Dia earlier not to go out at night, she decides to go and buy some sweets from Hanamura at night. And we get the credits. I like this song more than the opening one. In the post-credits, Yohane is enveloped by a black fog and confronted by evil animals. We know they're evil because their eyes are red. Meanwhile, the scholar is looking in a book at photos of those animals, somehow, and says that the animals are in danger. I thought that Yohane was in danger, but back in the forest, we're still in the post-credit scene. This went on for couple minutes. Back in the forest, just as Yohane is about to be attacked, 3 superheroes in a minivan appear. And then the episode ends. The third episode starts where the post-credits ended, with Million Dollar, the superheroes, arriving to save the day. Yohane is unimpressed. Instead of the full title sequence, that we got in the previous episode, we can only get a title card, like in the first episode, before Million Dollar attacks the animals and saves Yohane. It takes Yohane about 20 seconds to realize that the superheroes are the three sisters from the inn, which is honestly about 20 minutes faster than I thought it would take her.
Yeah, that's a really good writing for an anime, isn't it?
A CRT monitor drops out of the sky with the mother's face on it, and they call it Big Mom. Big Mom tells them to not harm the deer, and the three sisters dispel whatever was affecting one of them. Elsewhere, Deer is informed of the animals and tells the fairy, from her bookcase named Ruby, to join her. She dons her Kamen Rider outfit, calling herself Scarlet Delta, and jumps on a motorbike, which is fired into the air. And my next note is in capitals, what is this show?
Yeah, that's pretty much how it feels by that point. It's like, what is happening? If this is the main premise and it's been like three episodes, why is it starting only now?
We started with her singing.
Yeah, you might assume that it's like slice of life kind of thing in the first episode, but no. This is everything the anime.
Everything the anime. That's brilliant.
Like, episode 4, it might, like, be a horror thing, for all we know.
Yeah, it's going to take on a Resident Evil vibe in the next episode, and then all of a sudden they're going to wind up in space somehow for some science fiction.
Well, they have the technology, certainly.
I mean, just fire the rocket using that thing that launched the motorbike. Back in the forest, the superhero Katie, which is Chica from the inn, is grabbed by the fog and drops her ocarina. No, I'm not making a joke. It really is an ocarina.
Ocarina is a real thing. It's not just Legend of Zelda thing.
Yeah, yeah.
No, what? Stop blaspheming.
There are people who don't realize that. The other two are knocked down, but it's all right because Scarlet Delta arrives and frees Katie. Katie falls to her doom, but Scarlet Delta saves her by Akira-ing her bike. Like, you guys realize what I'm saying about that, right?
Yes.
Because I saw that, I paused the anime, I typed into a search engine Akira, went to images, and on the first row, there was that picture of Akira skidding his bike, and put it side by side with a frame from this anime, and said to my wife, look. It's the same thing.
Well, you can find like compilation of the Akira motorbike reference in various media.
Oh yeah, the next episode, someone's gonna do the Yamcha death pose, I'm sure.
Is it gonna be Yohane?
It seems that Million Dollar aren't fans of Scarlet Delta, especially when she kills an evil deer instead of freeing it from the fog controlling it.
Yeah, we're the real vigilantes. We don't have any money.
Yohane is confused, but somehow not as confused as me. Neither of us have time to think about what's going on in this anime about a failing idol, because the fairy Ruby merges with the motorbike. Katie and Scarlet Delta bicker and argue, trying to save or kill the remaining two evil deer, but Yohane gets in the way before her staff begins to glow. A confusing, if admittedly awesome, AMV occurs, and the deer are back to normal. That's anime music video for those who never had the misfortune of watching AMVs back in the day. They pat each other on the back and thank Yohane, and for some reason, Ruby unmerges with the bike to chat with Deer before they both remember that nobody knows about Ruby, except everyone knows about Ruby. Deer explains that the general public doesn't know about the dark fog, and most people don't believe it's a thing, so this whole superhero thing is being done in secret. I'm not sure how the government agency is doing all this high-tech stuff with no oversight, but...
It's a fantasy world! It's not Marvel. It's not real.
Marvel's real?
Oh my god, Marvel isn't real?
They ask Yohane about the staff, but she admits to knowing nothing about it, so Big Mom suggests going to speak to a demon lord, because why not at this point? However, later, as Yohane is conveying this to Lilaps, she wonders if it's a good idea, because the island that the demon lord is on is supposed to be a bad place. But they're already at the docks, and a ghost bids her to get on a rowboat pulled by a dolphin to the island. So they go. At the demon lord's house, they find penguins. Also, the demon lord, who Yohane is surprised to find, doesn't present as male.
Oh my gosh, it's a demon lordess.
Her name is Mari, and she claims to have been listening to Yohane and Lilaps. So it kind of blows our theory out the water. As well as the rest of the town, using her horns as receivers. Mari calls the staff a resonance and says that the town is screaming. She'd save the town herself, but she has horns and some kind of mini demon ghost fish things follow her everywhere, so she doesn't want to get stared at. Mari gives some pastries to Yohane, and Yohane and Lilaps leave. And we get the credits. So, was this a good adaptation?
Yes.
I mean, I saw the same characters in the things.
Well, I played a bit of Yohane, the Parhelion Nomazu in the Mirage earlier today, and it's the same setting, same characters, but it appears to be set after the events of the anime, because she's met everyone. And she's still trying to be a fortune teller, but still doing odd jobs for everyone. But yeah, completely different story. She's sucked in a new mirror that she's obtained, and it keeps dragging her in to throw cards at fruit. It's nonsense. Anyway, it's a bit hard to judge it as an adaptation when it was conceived as part of this whole multimedia franchise, like games, anime, probably some manga or some drama CDs or something as well. When it's all conceived at the same time, it either all follows one story or goes off in its own directions, like this appears to have.
If we compare it to, like, the first Love Live Sunshine video game, then at least the characters seem to be the same characters. Like, personality-wise and appearance-wise, stuff like that.
So, based on the first three episodes, is it a Yata, Nani, or a Baka, Arturo?
I think for me, it was definitely a Baka. I didn't quite like the protagonist. I never understood where the story was going. I liked the animations, but I didn't care for any of the characters. So, I don't think I can safely say I like this one.
And goes?
It's a Yata for me. I thought it was good all around. And I actually related somewhat to the main character because she seems to be really very socially awkward and shy, but she tries to act like she's special.
That does sound like you.
No, yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Thank you. You're calling me special, you mean?
For me, it's a Nani, and I mean that in the strongest terms. What the Nani was the tone of that show, the genre of that show, the direction. Just Nani? It's a spin-off of an idol game series, so honestly, that's what I was expecting.
But I mean, if it was like an idol thing, like a slice of life thing, you saw that before, and wouldn't you, like, be kind of bored? And this just throws a bunch of curveballs at you.
Well, yeah, it's too many curveballs. If it was, like, this fantasy slash modern world, fine. If you have this magical miasma stuff, then yeah, okay. That's something for the characters to overcome. And then there's superheroes and Kamen Riders and secret organizations, and it's too much different stuff.
Yeah, it's just, it was too much for me. I feel like if they had focused on one thing, I could have started liking the anime. But I totally agree with you. It feels like it just has nothing at all.
There's a lot of different stuff, but like, I'm not bothered about like the world's lore and cohesion of the world. It's like a girl comes back to her hometown and she reconnects with people and they solve a problem together. That's all it needs to be. And like, they go on wacky adventures together. The rest is kind of like addressing.
So will you keep watching?
I think for me, no. I honestly wasn't enamored with the characters. I wasn't enamored with the protagonist. I wasn't enamored with the story or the wackiness. I have a lot of other things I actually want to watch, even things I've watched here. So I'll just stick to those.
If I had time, I'd watch more and see if it can keep entertaining me.
See if it keeps changing genres.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like Gurren Lagann or Kill la Kill, where each episode there's something new, there's an escalation.
So you're saying by the end of the series, the moon is going to crash into the planet?
No. Maybe.
For me, I gotta say no. I have other less confusing things to watch, and also the protagonist is unlikable.
I don't know why are you guys so hateful towards awkward characters?
She's doesn't present as awkward until you get other people involved. Before that, it's like, I hate this place. I don't want to go home because I hate it. This is a stupid town. Okay, we get it. You don't like the town.
Well, it's like she doesn't not like the town. She just... she has a delusion of grandeur, and like, she wants to be special. So she says, oh, this town is not for me. There are greater things for me. And yeah, this town is stupid, but she doesn't actually think it's stupid. And I think to me, it was very apparent all of the time that she was just really shy and was afraid to like talk to people. I'm not sure how to explain it in a way that will be understandable.
The Wikipedia article about this series does say that the character is known for having a chunibyo gimmick, which if you go to that page, explains that it's a Japanese colloquial term typically used to describe early teens who have grandiose delusions, who desperately want to stand out, and who have convinced themselves they have hidden knowledge or secret powers.
Mm.
Sometimes called eighth grader syndrome in the United States. I don't even know what eighth graders are.
We also call it unlikable protagonist in Greencast podcast.
I think in that Wikipedia article there's someone comparing it to like Don Quixote.
Yes.
Yeah.
Literary critic Bushichino expressed that he would like to give the novel Don Quixote the subtitle Shinibyo starting from 50 years old. Blah 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 blah. The people around him play along in order to avoid denying his delusions.
But yeah. He's not a bad person.
There's got to be a way to portray this without making them seem unlikable.
Nauseous. Oh, okay, yeah, that works too.
I don't think she was unlikable. Like, you just have to like read between the lines a little bit.
Is it reading between the lines, or is it trying to like her on purpose?
Sure, both.
I was too busy recovering from everything this show was throwing at me to read between any lines.
But yeah, shit, like, when I was growing up, I was very awkward and shy. Well, still I am. And I think a lot of the time my behavior was taken as like hostile, but I didn't mean it like that. And I see a lot of younger people who are like awkward and are outcasts just acting like that. And if you actually try to get to know them, they don't hate you or something like that. It's just like being a teenager is hard. I know all about that. 70 years ago. What's with this awkward silence? Please don't do this to me.
So that brings us to the end of our episode with the revelation that Gorz is approaching 90.
And with the revelation that Gorz is also an a-hole, apparently, an a-hole sympathizer.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. I love you for who you are.
Thank you for joining me, Arturo and Gorz.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge. And better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrin.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Grincast podcast. And until next time, game on.